And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. This show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. A few more text messages before. Let's see how many dad jokes. Butters is already laughing. They're good. That dad jokes are awesome. You know they are. You had to have told your kids some dad jokes along the way. Knowing you a little bit, I would imagine you did.
Maybe.
You will neither confirm nor deny. Is that it?
Absolutely.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
You've got a vast repertoire, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the first dipper of the speech police may apply to dad jokes.
The irony of the fact that I'm moving into that. John from Brownsboro said, best monologue ever. Save the dads. Ben Cartwright, Tracy from Athens says, Ben Cartwright was an amazing dad. Yeah, he was. Then he says, she says, welcome back, Senator. And this is Lee was great. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate it. Lee is great. And it's kind of funny how Lee became a guest host. I mean, she was just a caller. I said, I shouldn't say that. Never say just a caller. She was one of our regular callers. And every time she called was so spot on that one day I thought, I'd love to get a female to host a show sometime and see that. Wait, I'm just going to call Lee from Huntsville. So I sent her a message and lo and behold, here we are.
Well, I look forward to her filibuster today.
It's going to be good. JT Lacey Springs says, dad joke, one vowel saves another vowel's life. Then the vowel say to the other, A-E, I owe you. Besides Andy, the TV dad for a different era was Lucas McCain, the rifleman. Oh, he was good. Man, was awesome. Scott from Somerville says, I've been in the 101st Airborne, driven an 18-wheeler, graduated nursing school, and been the custodial single parent of three kids. And looking back, I have to say my greatest accomplishments and biggest failures are all wrapped up in being a dad. Scott from Somerville. Scott, thank you for that. And by the way, thank you for your service, and thank you for being a dad. Ken from Harvest saw a sign at a garage that said, jokes, $5. Bad jokes, $2. Dad jokes, free.
Sounds about right.
Then he says, how do you make a handkerchief dance? Put a little boogie in it. Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's bad. That's so bad. David from Coleman says, my favorite dad joke from my dad. What do you call turkeys from Tennessee? Turkeys. What do you call turkeys from Tennessee the day before Thanksgiving? Turkeys. I'm not sure I get it. Nonetheless, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Let's see what else we got here. And Jeremy, by the way, Jeremy Huntsville has sent me one and says, you might want to read this first before you read it on the air. And I think you're right. And I'm going to leave that one off. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, probably.
and don't tell that one to your kids. Listen, we're going to go into Dipper number one. You keep sending those dad jokes if you want to. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. But interestingly enough, my very first Dipper is called The Speech Police. Now, this is it's not meant to be irony. And by the way, it's going to be like a completely different version of speech. Dad jokes are certainly protected under the First Amendment, I would think. Although if they're deemed harmful, that might be different. I don't know.
For now, yes.
Until liberals get, you know, involved and realize they came from dads and they want to know why moms don't have mom jokes. And I'm pretty sure they do have mom jokes. But
that may be legislation that's worth debating. I'm not sure.
Let's take that one all the way to the Supreme Court. So right now, as we speak, I'm looking at it on the screen, one of the screens here in the wall in the studio. Right now, as we speak, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protesters are calling the NYPD KKK members, screaming at them, blockading Columbia University's campus. And I don't mean like a little bit. I'm talking about this is a flag burning, hundreds, maybe thousands of people blocking roads, blocking campus access, so much so that I think a couple of hundred of them, I believe, have already been arrested. They had to bring in police buses to haul away all the arrested protesters, at which point the other protesters then blocked the streets, threatening not to let the buses leave, like that was really an option. And I don't think these skulls full of mush know what they're protesting, because most of them look like they've got zero life experience. Like their whole life experience, you know, relates to being able to log in online to play video games. But they're out there protesting what they know about the world right now. And what they know is Palestine good, Israel bad. Meanwhile, the president of Columbia University just testified in front of Congress and said, we will not stand for anti-Semitic. I mean, she learned her lesson from watching what happened when Harvard went up there and testified, right? Harvard and Penn and who was the other one? Anyway, went up there and testified. And didn't go well for them. Some job shifting happened soon thereafter. But the president of Columbia University, to her credit, said, we will not stand for this. I'm paraphrasing, but she also is the one who called for the police to help clear campus of people who were disrupting. Now, you're allowed freedom of speech, though, right? Certainly. You are not allowed to violate the law in conducting your so-called right to freedom of speech. I can speak freely all I want to. The day I call for someone's death is a slightly different issue. If I call for someone's death and I incite the riot to go and lynch them, it's even a bigger issue. If I am blocking the roads and denying people access to private property, oh yeah, big, big issue. If I am shutting down infrastructure, damaging, you know, damaging people's property, burning things in the process, aka Black Lives Matter, Antifa, then yeah, that's absolutely an offense under the law. Protected speech only goes so far. We saw today a number of kids get arrested, and it's going to change their whole life because they chose to get out there and protest something over which they have zero knowledge. I'll be honest, zero knowledge, except that they've been rallied up and a lot of them are paid. And there are groups from outside that are inciting these riots that are pro-Palestinian.
That girl looks, we're looking at Fox right now, the interview, she looks like she's 12.
Oh, yeah. Got a 12-year-old out there, but she knows all the things. All the things, man. She knows all the things. You know why? Because she goes to Columbia. She knows all the things. I am pretty sure this would not go well in a small town, but nonetheless, I'm looking at it happening right now at Columbia University. It's a big deal. New York City. Meanwhile, you can have your speech as long as you're pro-Palestine, right? You can't always have your free speech when it's about things that are, you know, otherwise important, but yet conservative. How about this story? I'm going to kick it off with this. This is part of what inspired this this dipper. Story from redstate.com. Speech police strike again as high school student is suspended for using the phrase illegal alien. Right now, you're waiting for the punchline. No, that is not a dad joke. This kid goes to high school at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina. I have always thought of North Carolina as a reasonably conservative state, like sort of part of the South, even though it's North Carolina.
Okay, sorry.
Not really. Public education, the article says, is little more than indoctrination in some places. Brainwash as many young skulls full of mush as possible. Part of the fundamental transformation of America includes rewriting the dictionary and redefining words and phrases. But just when you think the left has reached the height of ridiculousness in their surveillance of American speech, wait a minute, here we go. Christian McGee, 16 years old, Central Davidson High School, Lexington, North Carolina, recently suspended for 3 days, not for fighting, not for misgendering a transgender student, but for using the term illegal alien. So here's the deal. Christian was in class. Teacher gave them a vocabulary assignment. They had to write something that used the word alien. What was his crime? He asked for clarification. Do you mean like space aliens? Or are you talking about like illegal aliens who don't have green cards? Chaos ensued, apparently. One of his fellow students was offended, wanted to threaten to fight him right there in front of the teacher. So the threat of physical abuse was apparently less than the threat of saying like, you know, illegal alien. Come on. Really? This is what we're going to stop school for? He asked a legitimate question about the use of a word so that he would know how to do his assignment. He didn't look at somebody and go, you're an illegal alien. Which, by the way, what if he did? But the assistant principal put both boys out in the hallway. Christian said he didn't mean the question as an insult. He wasn't trying to target anybody. The other kid said he was sorry. He didn't really want to fight him. He was all okay. So everything should be fine now, right? Nope. His use of the term was considered offensive and disrespectful to his Hispanic classmates. So he was written up and suspended for 3 days. No kidding. His response, I didn't make a statement towards anyone. I asked a question. I wasn't talking about Hispanics even. Everyone from any country needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is the actual term that I hear on the news, and I can't find it, and I can find it in the dictionary. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Kid got 3 days suspension. He's also a track star. He's having to miss track meets. He's having to miss things that could lead to a potential scholarship. A suspension, by the way, was going to carry on his record in case they ever looked to see what his academics were as they review him for future opportunities. The bottom line is this. The left has once again manufactured like an offensive comment that you're just not allowed to say, and a young kid's future is hanging in the balance. Meanwhile, the family had to hire an attorney because their son was suspended for asking a question about something that's real, illegal aliens. Just call it what it is. But the speech police got involved, and it changes things. Listen, I got more on this about what we need to be watching for and things that are happening around the nation. The speech police get involved, and they have notions, they have ideas, but you have rights. You have actual rights. Let's take a break right now. We'll take that break, and yeah, we'll be right back with more of this. The speech police, tell me what you think. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Oh yeah, espousing the views of common sense conservatism. Here we go. Did I just coin a new phrase? Espousing the views of common sense conservatism. That one just came out of nowhere. I don't know where that came from. Maybe based upon some of the callers you've been having to field while we've been off the air. I don't know. Could be. I got a call on the line real quick. I'll take that while I have a chance because he's a common sense conservative. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Ate me some of them pickled eggs I showed you there.
Oh, no. That's not good for you.
I got a new batch in.
You know,
it's good for me. It's not good for anybody around me.
Listen, last time I stopped at Bucky's, I saw that they sold pickled quail eggs. I mean, you could buy gas, get a scented candle, eat a meal, get your car washed, and also buy pickled quail eggs all at Bucky's. That's crazy.
Yeah, but those are the Amish brand, and they got sugar in them. Ugh,
why you even know that? Are you like a connoisseur of pickled eggs?
I'm a big fat truck driver. You tell me.
Oh, no. Well, what's on your mind, man? What do you think about this speech police stuff?
The only one to be suspended in this kid's thing here would be the assistant principal. He'd be suspended without paying and probably begging for his job because I'd make so much racket around the school board there, they'd have to do something.
And that's exactly what should happen.
This kid needs a public apology and pray that they don't get sued for, you know, because I don't know if they think there's anywhere in the handbook that would say, you know, you can't say illegal alien or whatever as being a smear word or whatever.
No, there's not. In fact, you can look up the word alien in the dictionary. It actually describes somebody who's a non-citizen. I mean, it actually says that in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. It's an agenda-driven issue. It's not even got to do with correctness of grammar.
Yeah. It's even used in the government. You know, that's what they're called is illegal aliens, so. So I don't know, you know, and laws and everything.
Well, they are, except in the Biden administration. Now they're called newcomers.
Oh, newcomers.
Newcomers. That's the new fancy word to downplay what they are. Yes, they're newcomers.
That's kind of like Christopher Columbus. He was a newcomer too, I guess.
That's what it was. All the Native Americans looked around and go, who's the newcomer? I don't know.
Exactly. Oh. But yeah, I'd definitely be... I'd bring a lawsuit against them just because this kind of behavior is not acceptable.
Well, they have hired an attorney. They've hired an attorney, and they said, out of concern for our family and for their son Christian, they've got to do what they've got to do to get it off his record because they don't want it impeding his progress later.
Like I say, I'd be suing the school system, and I'd want a, at minimum, a public apology in the paper.
This would be a great one for a Moms for Liberty chapter up there in North Carolina, wouldn't it? Head on down to the school board.
Hey, you going to Thunder over Louisville this weekend?
No, are you going?
Well, of course I'm going to be there, man. Planes and fireworks. I can't believe you've never been to one.
No, I haven't. I need to, because that's where, like you said before, that's where the lovely Charlene is from. But no, we got no plans for this weekend, man.
Oh, man. Well, Saturday from 2 p.m. to about 10 o'clock is going to be a good show.
Well, you enjoy it, brother. And hey, by the way, you heard my monologue earlier. You got any good dad jokes?
I put it on there a while ago. I can tell a lot of things, but I can't tell a joke. I screw the punchline up every time.
All right. Horrible. Well, be safe on the road, brother. Watch out for them pickled eggs.
Oh, yeah. Well, other people should watch out for them.
All right. We'll see you.
Hey, they're made in Alabama, though.
See you, buddy.
Have a good one, buddy.
Bye-bye. We're getting down close to the end of the segment here. I do have to say this, though, about this whole thing at Columbia University, and it kind of relates to the speech police issue. So do the protesters at Columbia University who are, you know, calling for, you know, death to Israel and anti-Semitic, you know, chants and asking for Israel to not defend itself, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Do they have a right to say that stuff? Sure they do. They do, as long as they're not calling for violence, which some of them are, and as long as they're not destroying property, which some of them are. And as long as they're not, you know, otherwise violating laws, which many of them are, but they have a right to their opinion. No matter how unseemly, unethical, or ridiculous it may seem, they certainly have a right to their own opinion. Here's the interesting piece of this, though. Just for dynamics, just for optics. What would you think if I told you that one of the lead protesters was actually just suspended from college, is the daughter of a notorious member of the squad in Congress? No. Yes. How about this? Ilhan Omar's daughter is literally been arrested today as one of the lead protesters in the anti-Israel movement. She apparently was also recently disenrolled from, I think, is it Bardham College? Because she was putting out some pretty awful things about killing Jews, I believe. And I could be saying that wrong, so forgive me. I need to go back and double check. But nonetheless, she was apparently disenrolled from her college. And that is a daughter of a mom in Congress. Should it matter? Well, I don't know. Can you hold parents responsible? I would say to some degree you can, but does it mean that Ilhan Omar can't be a congresswoman? No. Can the daughter not have an opinion? Sure she can. Does it look pretty unseemly, and does it show you who's leading our nation right now? Yep, it sure as all get out does. And if you wonder why, when you look at Fox News today and you see that there were 13 Democrats who voted against a resolution, the bottom line is the whole thing is just weird. They were voting against Israel, and there are the members of the squad, including Ilhan Omar, who voted against a resolution condemning Iran for its attacks on Israel. They can't even condemn Iran for an unsolicited, unprovoked attack that was an attempt with a saturation bombing of drones and missiles, and including ballistic missiles, to actually just destroy whole population centers in Israel. And it failed. Failed miserably. Like, failed embarrassingly. Like, Iran, you're a nobody now. Nobody's worried about your ballistic missiles anymore. But Ilhan Omar, the same congresswoman who can't just at least condemn it as being wrong, her daughter's the one leading the protests against Israel in New York City right now. How about that? Yeah, here's an article on it. Here she is. Ilhan Omar's daughter suspended from college amid her anti-Israel activism. Unbelievable. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
right side ruffians out there. You are listening to...
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, inexplicably hour number two. I got a bunch of text messages in there that I'm going to be catching up on here shortly. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you're watching the show right now on live stream, you can see the interior of the studio. If you're having any trouble, by the way, ever picking up our signal from any of our affiliate stations in North Alabama, you can always find us online. You can go to rightsideradio.org. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Rumble. You can check us out. It is all there for you, live streaming daily as well as live on the air. I'm in this section I'm calling the speech police. Here's some irony for you. You ready? What if you had a professor at a university who taught communications who did not want conservatives to have a voice? Oh. Yes, there you go. Story here that happened yesterday on an organizational website called campusreform.org. So Ann Coulter, long been known to be a conservative firebrand, she gets out there and gives a pretty mean speech. I say mean like in the like happening kind of way, not mean like in you know, ugly mean. But she gets out there to give a speech at Cornell University, a campus, by the way, in which protests against her speech last year caused her to have to stop her speech and just finally leave the stage. This year, they brought her back. Except that Monica Cornejo, an assistant professor of interpersonal communications, was not having any of it. She bought her ticket for the event, and then she proceeded to become quite the nuisance. She stood up shouting, "I'm an assistant professor of communication here, and one of those illegals you mentioned, and I really appreciate you coming in and talking about these issues. That way I get to know how many racist people belong to this university." And then she began flipping off Ann Coulter, screaming at her, in the audience, mind you. After about the sixth outburst, the cops finally came and took her away. By the way, here's what her job description says of her. Cornejo's work uses qualitative and quantitative methodologies to examine the structural barriers that lead to inequities among undocumented immigrants, how undocumented immigrants draw on communication, identity management, and advocacy strategies to challenge those barriers, and how those strategies relate to undocumented immigrants' health and well-being. Now, I'm not sure what all those Scrabble words mean, but what it basically shuts down is the idea that she understands anything about communication. Because for her to stand up and say Ann Coulter can have no voice or opinion, or that other people can't pay to come on and hear Ann Coulter speak, and yet she's going to talk about the structural barriers that lead to inequities in communications, I anticipate that she may or may not be teaching a class worth having. I'd say not. How about this one? Story on the Washington Examiner, Dateline April 8th, so 10 days ago. So the National Press Club, if you're not familiar, National Press Club is what it sounds like. It's a nonprofit organization. They promote free press. They consider themselves to be one of the cornerstones of society. They're having an event coming up. And they're kind of under fire right now because one of the speakers at the event is a lady by the name of Kate Starbird. Starbird. Is that really her name? Anyway, Kate Starbird. Kate Starbird. Who is that? Well, she's one of the ones who helped lead the organizational effort to suppress what they called disfavored speech on social media before the 2020 elections. Really? Yes. So the National Press Club, the organization that promotes a free press, is having someone in to speak who has testified in front of Congress that she was a part of the successful efforts to shut down speech that they just didn't like
on social media and other platforms during the time of the 2020 elections. You may remember all this. It was called the Election Integrity Partnership. They actually had a partnership. It was set up that way. But it was all behind the scenes. You didn't know it was happening until later, when it finally became known and Congress began to say something about it. At least the Republicans in Congress did. It was a coordinated effort with the FBI, the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and other so-called partners as it flagged what they called misinformation on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and other platforms in 2020 and got it taken off. And they would suggest how that message shouldn't get out. Remember the whole Hunter Biden laptop? Mm-hmm. Remember, you know, things like you can't talk about certain things about COVID? Mm-hmm. Remember how there were things like, you know, conservatives felt like they were being suppressed by some form of algorithm on social media, mm-hmm. whereas the liberal message always got out? Yeah. Bottom line is, she's one of the organizers for that. Rob Carson of Newsmax says, everything Starbird did flies in the face of the First Amendment and a free press. But she's going to be speaking at the National Press Club. How about let's look international? The speech police in Scotland are real. I mean, this isn't like a notional speech police, like a social cultural effort at speech policing. No, no. They actually have a new law that empowers the police to arrest you in the event that you say something mean about transgenders. No. Yes. Scotland, the land of William Wallace and Braveheart. I'm just telling you, this is nuts. So Scotland passed its Hate Crime Act. And it basically adds a new crime. They say a new crime of stirring up hatred against any of the protected groups covered by the bills, one of which of the protected groups is transgender identity. In other words, you cannot say in public, that's a dude wearing a dress. You can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that chick is not a chick. That's really a dude who thinks he's a chick. You can't say that. It's a crime. Not a small crime, by the way. It's a big crime with penalties leading up to potential imprisonment. The Hate Crime and Public Order Bill has now got enemy number one on the list, and that's J.K. Rowling, who was the author of all the Harry Potter books, who I would say is probably one of the most internationally famous current Scottish residents. I mean, she's known everywhere, but she is not having, and by the way, she's not a super conservative either. But she's not buying into this transgender movement. So she began a long social media post recently when that bill was passed, talking about how she's out of country right now, but she's heading home. And she believes that biological male criminals who have claimed to be transgender are being put in women's prisons, resulting in sexual assaults, and that you're finding constant efforts by men to portray themselves as women so they can have access and become predators. So anyway, here's a long quote from her, and I'll read it to you because it's epic. She says, for several years now, Scottish women have been pressured by their government and members of their police force to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears, repudiate biological facts, embrace a neo-religious concept of gender that is unprovable and untestable. The redefinition of woman, to include every man who declares himself one, has already had serious consequences for women's and girls' rights and safety in Scotland, with the strongest impact felt, as ever, by the most vulnerable, including female prisoners and rape survivors. She said it's impossible to accurately describe or tackle the reality of violence and sexual violence committed against women and girls, or address the current assault on women's and girls' rights unless we are allowed to call a man a man. Freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland, she said, if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal. And then she ended with the challenge. I am currently out of the country. But if what I've written here qualifies an offense under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of Scottish enlightenment. God bless J.K. Rowling. Wearing them out. Guess what? She did come home. They didn't arrest her.
Can't we just go back to saying nice things to each other like, you're stupid! You're an idiot!
Words will never hurt me. I don't think I get you arrested, though. The speech police get involved. Look, I've got so much more here. We're not going to get to all of it. I will tell you this. That's Scotland. I didn't even tell you about what happened in Brussels yesterday. I will tell you this. The NPR, which has been under a lot of fire lately, has recently it's come to light that their CEO named Catherine Mayer has a long history of mocking tweets about freedom of speech, even saying things like, here's her quote, "Our reverence for the truth might be a distraction getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done." That's a member, that's the CEO of a publicly paid for large news platform that says our reverence for the truth might be a distraction getting in the way of getting things done. Does cause one to ponder why our tax dollars are going to NPR. And then there's the whole story, too, that I'm not really going to get into in detail, even though I've got all kinds of highlights and notes written on it. About the one, by the way, earlier I talked about the Columbia protest. Take that not as a sign that I don't appreciate the fact that people with differing views are allowed to have a First Amendment right. I think those protesters are knuckleheads, and they deserve to be arrested, a bunch of them. But then there's this woman on Fox News, story March 30th. Her name is Rola Abdeljawad. And Rola Abdeljawad had the FBI come knocking on her door. Why? Because she went on her social media opposing the war in Gaza. And so the FBI knocked on her door. And they said, look, we do this all day, every day, questioning people about their social media posts. Her response was, are we not in a free country? And they said, well, of course we are. We totally get it. That's why we're not here to arrest you. We do this all day, every day, all day long. Just an effort to keep everybody safe, make sure nobody has any ill will. The FBI's job is not to supervise ill will. And the FBI's job is not to knock on your door because your Facebook post didn't match the narrative. And oh, by the way, I don't agree with her Facebook post, but I agree with her First Amendment right. Speech police, y'all. Keep your eyes open. It's still America, and you do have rights. All right, we're going to end it right there. I'm going to come back and get a whole bunch of text messages. If you got any text messages for me on speech police or dad jokes, I want to hear them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.